Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
And that's me. Thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it. And spreading the word about Songwriter Connection, we're right about 3 million worldwide streams right now. And we thank you for making that possible. And everybody's got a podcast today. They're everywhere. I love to listen to podcasts while I'm driving.
Yes.
And I was just on vacation. We drove to Destin. So always find myself a podcast and put it on. It makes the drive go.
Yeah,
it really does.
It really does.
We've discovered that as well.
Yeah. We have Kelly and Sarah with us today. Kelly and Sarah Fink, but you just go by Kelly and Sarah, and that's what we're going to do.
Yes.
And sometimes, although I talk for a living, it gets all mush sometimes. Sorry about that. Kelly and Sarah are twins, and they've been here in Nashville since 2020.
Yep.
And if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm just a sucker for that sibling blood harmony, and these ladies have it. And I think I first met you when you played one of my writers.
We did, yeah.
A few years ago. And I've been following you ever since.
We've been following you too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you you came to Nashville from Illinois.
Yes.
In El Paso. And people are like, El Paso?
Isn't I know, that's a thing. But
no, this is El Paso, Illinois, which is east of Peoria, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Small town? How many people?
2,500 people.
2,500?
Yep.
Two less when you left.
Yeah.
And you're twinsish. Who's the oldest? Who was born first?
I am. I'm Sarah, and I'm the older twin by one whole minute, so I'm the boss.
You're the boss. Okay, I have a question then. Okay.
All right.
First question. Why isn't it Sarah and Kelly?
That is a good question. I like to say it's because I've been first all of my life, so now I'm giving Kelly the opportunity to be first now. I know.
We
I'm
do such like a good to say example. That.
That is,
there's so many awesome. Reasons, but that's like the main reason.
And Kelly also plays guitar.
Yes, she does play it a little bit better than I do.
You both play instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started playing guitar pretty recently, actually. I think it was, when did you start playing guitar, Kelly?
I started in 2020 because, everything shut down and I was like,
You've only been playing like 5 years?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, I stopped for a year because I got frustrated, but I'm back on it and I've been on it harder than ever, so.
I watched you guys perform at Randy's Revival not too long ago. You did very well. It's my guitar. I can't believe you've only been playing for that long.
Oh, that means so much.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Wow. Now, you first played piano, though, right?
Yes.
Both of you?
We did.
Right.
Back when we were like 6 years old, that's when we started playing the piano. Yeah. And so we got the fundamentals and everything when it comes to playing the keys. Mm-hmm. But I think it just wasn't something that we were just driven to play.
Yeah, I loved doing piano at first. We did it for 6 years. But on the sixth year, I was kind of like, you know what? I don't know about it anymore. I loved it at first, but I just lost the passion as I went. And I always really wanted to play guitar, but never got one in my hands.
Well, you've got a beautiful one there. And Martin, Tobacco Sunburst, Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous. Absolutely. When did you start writing songs?
I was always writing back in school, during study hall or something. I was always writing.
For me, I started writing for fun back in third grade. Like, I had this notebook.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Sarah, in third grade.
Yes. And I had this notebook that was filled with songs that a third grader would write.
Yeah.
It's lost. I don't know where it's at, and it breaks my heart that it's lost forever. I know.
I would love to see some of those.
I know, to like look back and see what I was feeling and writing about.
Crazy.
But then we didn't start writing seriously until college. Okay. And we were taking like songwriting classes because I decided if I'm going to do this, I want to do it good. I want to do it to the best of my ability. I don't want to just throw something on a piece of paper and think it's good and it really not be.
Right. Yeah. And I knew how my previous songs were back in when I was little. I was like, I don't know if I want to write one of those songs as like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
So I waited till I got into a songwriting class where I actually was taught how to even start.
So how do you even start?
Well, there's lots of ways of starting. You can get inspiration from other songs, or you can just write about whatever the first thing comes to your brain and honestly, that's fine too. Because just because you're 18 doesn't mean you're going to be writing the same things you wrote when you were 8 anyway.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. We're going to evolve. We're going to grow and find new things to write about.
And I actually have this book. I bought a book because that's what my professor told me to do. And it was like, how to write better song lyrics. And there's some exercises in that book. One thing you can do is think of an object and do object writing and take 10 minutes to write about that one object, whether it be something crazy like a pencil or something like the ocean and whatever comes to your mind, write for 10 minutes and then read it and put that into a lyric.
That is such a great idea.
Yeah. And I also think
thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Just writing, really, just write, and you're going to write some trash, and you just have to be okay with that. But don't go into it with the mindset that you're going to be writing trash, because I've done that too. I'm like, I'm probably going to write an awful song today, and you know what I did? I wrote an awful song that day.
Because you put yourself in that mindset, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And writing with other writers is also very important. Kelly and I, we didn't start writing with other people until after, well, actually
we moved here. Well, I guess there was some kind of collaboration in college.
Yeah.
I didn't love it because there was no one my style there. Like, I was the only country folk in my class. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to be writing with someone who's like so completely opposite of my style. That song, it just didn't hit as well as I wanted it to because it just wasn't all me or even a little bit me.
But finding someone who has the same style as you really is important. And they can pull ideas out of you that you didn't even know you had.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Co-writing is an amazing thing. Yeah. I see that a lot of your songs, listening on Spotify, that you've written just together.
Yes.
In fact, I didn't see an other outside collaborator on the songs that you've released.
There's only one song that we've written with another writer that we've put out in the world, and that one was Float. So that was our very first song we wrote with Chris James, back when we were just getting to Nashville and we wanted to understand what writing in Nashville was like. So he's been a really good influence on us for
It's good to have someone like that to help, help you get acclimated to the Nashville way, right?
Yeah.
I always tell folks that come in that have their unique style, I always say, you know, cherish that, you know. Don't become all Nashville.
Yeah, right.
Get a touch in Nashville, but stay where you are, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
One thing about Nashville is they write pretty dang good songs.
Yeah. Yes. It's hard to compete. I mean, not that I think that songwriting should be a competition. But
no, me neither.
I feel like I need to make sure that my songs are at that level that I see out there, you know.
And that's why it's good to study the successful songs, to see why they were successful.
I agree.
What did they write? Like, what was the alliteration? What kind of grammar did they use and all that?
What Cadence is it?
And Well, who do you listen to today? Who do you like to
emulate today? There's so many. I think one of our go-to artists that we like to listen to is Carrie Underwood.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if she's written her songs. She probably hasn't.
The Jesus Take the Wheel.
Yeah. That one, yes.
Rhett James co-wrote. We just lost in a tragic plane crash last week. Just terrible. He was a guy I was hoping someday would be doing this podcast. Oh. So I mourned for his loss and for his family. But anyway, so Carrie Underwood.
Definitely. Like, we look at her chord progression a lot of the time. Her chord progressions and her melody lines. Because she's such a powerhouse of a singer.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, it's fun to sing those things. And you ask yourself, what is it about those songs that you like?
What was the melody line? Why was it fun to do?
I think it is important to take a look at songs like that and tear it apart. We used to be a coordinator of NSAI, Nashville Songwriters Association, and in Cincinnati. So one of the things I tried to do every week was bring a song that was a big hit. And I said, why is this a hit? Let's take a look at it. Here's the lyrics. Let's analyze this song. What about it makes it stick in your head, right?
And it's so interesting to put yourself in that mindset.
Yeah.
And think that way.
And then look at songs that you've written and go, now, does this reach that bar?
Yeah.
And you got to be honest with yourself, right? Yeah. How about the first song you guys wrote that you thought, we can do this.
This is
pretty good.
Honestly, so all of our songs are our babies. They're
And they are. And they should be, you know. Yeah.
But I will say the song that we wrote that really just hit that I think we can do this bar is Well Whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Good song.
which came out this year. So after like the years of writing together, it took us, I feel like it was 4 or 5 years to finally get to that point of, oh, that's actually a really good song that we wrote.
Yeah. I also think mine would probably be the song Cowboy on the Run. And the reason why I felt like, oh, maybe this could be the song. It's not released yet, but I definitely recorded it because NSAI.
Well, you're
going
to have to do it eventually.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh,
so the thing that sets this podcast apart is that we actually get to sing the play
yeah.
music.
Yeah.
I was offered a few years ago a chance to put it on a big network. And they said, well, you can't do the music live.
What?
And I go, well, you can only do like a snippet. And I go, well, I'm sorry. I'm doing okay without it then.
Yeah.
Because this is what sets it apart, I think.
You know? Yes.
I want to hear the music live around the dining
yes.
room.
Yeah.
So, why don't we start with Well Whiskey?
Oh,
but I want to get inside your head how you started to write it. So you had it written down for a while, didn't you, that song?
Yeah.
And weren't sure where it was going and if it was even good enough, huh?
Yes. So Kelly, actually, she wrote the chorus.
Oh, Kelly. It was
it
Kelly.
It was Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote the chorus and
she didn't know where to go from there.
I didn't know where to go from there. So I was like, all right, I have the chorus, into the garbage. And then one day...
can't throw it in the garbage.
I know. It's our junk pile.
Yes, it was in my junk pile. And one day we were taking out our junk songs and I decided to do Well Whiskey for Sarah. And Sarah's like, we gotta do something with that song. I was like, are you sure? And she's like, yes. So she helped me and we've changed a lot of the chorus, lyrics especially. And she helped me write the verse and get a melody for the verse because... I had no idea. Help me with the chords and help me with the bridge. And before I knew it, it was much, much better.
Two heads better than one.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a challenge for you songwriters out there. Don't throw away what you think.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And maybe go through your junk pile every now and then.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We definitely learned to do that after that.
Yes.
Because there's gems in there, mm-hmm. you know.
And yeah. you don't realize it. And I said, Kelly, like, I'm telling you, this chorus is going to be a great hook. So I said, let's record it and I'll show you. We're going to record it, put it on Instagram and see what other people
and
have
what
to
happened?
Say about it. They loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. Let's do it. Let's expand on it.
And we can follow you on Instagram.
Yes.
Kelly and Sarah Music, right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Kelly Sarah Music.
All right. And the idea came from where, Kelly?
Well, my favorite beverage is whiskey.
You're a whiskey girl?
I'm a whiskey girl.
Awesome.
And the thing that makes whiskey even better is when it's cheap and doesn't cost everything in my wallet.
I hear that.
So I can afford to drink a little bit more of it, and then you could tip your bartender a little bit more, and then you have a good relationship with them.
That's
and then
true.
Life is just good after that.
Life is good.
Life is good.
So go ahead. Let's play it. All let's right. hear it. We're going to hear the great twin harmony of Kelly and Sarah on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Well, whiskey got me up and down and stumbling around. I got it from the well, don't need the top shelf. Yeah, you can call me cheap, but that won't bother me. I got a Tyson bar for me, that well, whiskey's whispering my name.
Whiskey.
Giving shivers like it did the same way. Now I know I shouldn't shoot her straight, but I remember that another day. Cause you did me wrong, now it shouldn't take long till I forget and bend me on my way. Well, whiskey got me up and down and stumbling around. I got it from the well, don't need the top shelf. Yeah, you can call me cheap, but that won't bother me. I got a Tyson bar for me, that well whiskey. Well, whiskey barreled into me. Never let a man be the fault of misery. Might take me twice to see that dream slide into me. Don't need to break the bank, now wet as my drink, cause it knows darn better than a cheat. Well, whiskey got me up and down and stumbling around. I got it from a well, don't need the top shelf. Yeah, you can call me cheap, but that won't buy me. I got a Tyson bar for me, that well whiskey. Throw one back for farewell
got me up and down and stumbling around. I got up on the wheel, don't need the top shelf. Yeah, you can call me cheap, but that won't bother me. I got a tight support for me. Well, whiskey got me up and down and stumbling around. I got up on the wheel, don't need the top shelf. Yeah, you can call me cheap, but that won't bother me. I got a tight support for me. That well whiskey.
Wow. I'm ready to pull some out, ladies. You ready?
Right.
Oh, well whiskey.
Can't say no to that.
I love it. Ah, good job. Great harmonies.
Well,
love
thank you.
And I love the way you started that with the harmony.
Yes, we said this song needs to really showcase our harmonies. Let's start with just that.
I love it. Where'd you record?
We recorded with John Newsome at his home studio.
Yeah.
And he's just been so great. We love him as a producer and can't wait to continue working with him. Yeah.
The song's doing well. It's streaming everywhere.
Yes, sure
look up
is.
Kelly and Sarah. And they've got some great songs out there. And,
yes.
And more coming, right?
More to come.
More to come.
More to come. I wanted to ask you, where'd you go to school? You both studied music, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you go to the same school?
At first we did. We went to a community college that wasn't too far away from home in Peoria at ICC.
Peoria, Illinois.
Went there for 2 years and then we decided to split ways because we could each get separate educations and then come together and work
smart
together in that. So we thought of that and also like we grew up together. We lived together for 18, 20 years.
Yeah.
We're like, you know what? We should probably try and learn how to be individuals.
Was that hard?
Oh, yeah.
It was so hard.
I can't imagine.
We had definite separation anxiety.
I'll bet. Calling each other every day.
Yeah.
FaceTiming.
Yes, yeah. I was like, what? How can you be 4 hours away?
Yeah. So I went to Decatur, Millikan University.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to North Park University up in Chicago, Illinois.
And you both were in their music programs.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. That's fantastic.
It's kind of interesting. I think Kelly's program was geared more towards the producing side and recording. And my education was geared more towards live performance. And I think it's interesting how we can now take what we both learned in separate areas and put them together and be like, this is what I learned. What did you learn here? And it's just
that's great.
Our strengths are complementary.
Yeah. Mm.
So after college, is that when you decided to come here to Nashville?
I think after I graduated the 2 year college, I knew I wanted to come to Nashville at some point in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't get to come my life didn't bring me until after my whole 4 years of college, which I'm grateful for. But I knew that I wanted to come to Nashville at some point, whether that be after college or during college. But I told Sarah, I was like, Sarah, I'm going to go to Nashville and I would like you to come with me.
So and Sarah said, what?
Yes. I wasn't quite sold on coming to Nashville yet. And
no?
I think it's only because I was in a relationship at the time.
I got you.
And I didn't want to end that. But then, I'm glad that I did because I'm loving it here. And obviously, that wasn't going to work out. So
yeah, I think she had a problem also with like, it's a pipe dream that people think of.
It's hard.
It's not easy, is it?
I'm like, are we sure we can do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I had the realization in my community college of, you know what? I don't think I can do anything else. Mm-hmm. I have a passion. I have a fire for a reason. And I think I had to kind of light Sarah's fire a little bit more to help her understand like,
I'm not in it by myself.
It's not just going to be a pipe dream. Like we can actually do this. Like we don't have to be famous. I just want to do music.
You just want to do music.
And survive.
That's where the passion is.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. And you came at the most difficult time.
Yeah.
Right during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So there's no gigs and there's like...
Yeah.
No, yeah.
What did you do?
We said there's nothing keeping us in Illinois at that point in time. Like we didn't have a job because there was no job at all. So we said, you know what? If we're going to go, we might as well just go now. Start networking.
Yeah. We just graduated college. We don't have a job. We might as well just go now and meet as many people as we can.
Yeah.
Even if we're not playing out, then we can meet the people who have been playing out and getting connected with other musicians and
songwriters. Which is so important.
Yeah.
You meet so many people, great people in this town.
Yes.
Just by going out and observing the rounds. And when you play around, just meeting everybody, listening to their songs, see what they're all about.
Yeah.
You got a big break though. You got hired to play at Old Red.
Yeah,
Blake Shelton's place.
Yes.
Tell me about the audition. How'd that come about?
So that actually happened because of our first year. Like, I think it's kind of important.
Your freshman year in Nashville.
I would say, like, this is probably a big piece of advice that I would share to anyone who wanted to move to Nashville and do music. That first year, you're probably not going to be playing much at all. Especially, you're not going to get paid to play for that first year. Use that first year to get to know people, make friends, and get plugged into other avenues of life.
And say yes to every opportunity that comes your way when in that first year. Right?
Yes.
Eventually, when you're established, you can pick and choose.
Yeah. Exactly.
But when you first start,
you got to learn the way of the land.
You do.
So then we got plugged into a church, and the people there at that church, there was a lot of musicians in that church, and especially like on the worship team and stuff. So we were talking to them and saying like, so what do you do outside of the worship team? Do you play at places? Like, how do you do that? Cause we're trying to play at Ole Red. Like, that's the place we want to go and play. Like, that was the number one place that we wanted to play at.
That's so cool.
And lo and behold, one of the guys on the worship team was like, I play at Ole Red regularly. This is what you got to do.
So he
gave us the booker's email and said, I'm going to like vouch for you. And so we emailed the heck out of the booker because he told us, he said, you have to bug her, like get on her and email her constantly until she responds.
And that's kind of the thing with all booking people. And I understand they're getting emails left and right.
Busy.
Yeah. You know, I used to do the rounds and it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you get tons of requests and all hours of the day and night. And not just the phone, but email. It's crazy. After a couple of years, I was like, all right. I do an occasional takeover. And that's fine. If I do that once a month, that'd be fine. You know, or every other month even, you know, it's a lot of work. And so I could see, at first I'm like, why can't they ever... I would try to get back to everybody. And then pretty soon you just realize there's just no physical possible way.
Yeah.
And I apologize, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to be persistent, don't you?
Yes. And it's not that we're like, she probably doesn't feel like we're bugging her,
but it feels like we are. And it's so scary because I don't want to be annoying.
and the same here. Yeah. You just find different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. And that's what we did. Every email was different.
Yeah.
And eventually she responded and we got a gig.
Good. So. Did you have to go in through an audition process? Or
there was.
How did it work?
Because it was COVID still, she did ask us to send.
So there's a blessing in disguise right there. There were less people.
Yep.
Okay.
All we had to do was send in a recording of us singing together. I don't even think there needed to be any kind of guitar because we couldn't play guitar well at that point. So we just did a cappella and she was like, all
right.
So
did they put you with bands then or what?
We built our own band.
Did you really?
Yes. And that was crazy to do at the very beginning of our career here. So we put together a band. We did a few rehearsals and then we played there. But then we started doing some more acoustic style gigs there. And that's been like a lot of fun. We're up on the rooftop where it's
really
like beautiful.
You're able to be intimate. With the audience.
That's what I love.
Yeah. And I
play your own music sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you play those big places like Ole Red and Luke's and now the Cat 10, you've got to play a lot of covers, don't you? They want to hear, right?
Mostly covers, yeah.
So did you find yourself, you have to learn a lot of different covers? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Did they give you a list of songs they wanted you to know?
No.
They just said mostly country music, but luckily there is Spotify. There's Facebook pages you can get into that they're all like, this is the Spotify playlist you should get familiar with because everybody knows those songs.
Yep.
So if you throw it at a musician, like they should know it and you should be good to go.
These guys are good, aren't they?
Yes. So Sarah and I, that first year, we learned, I don't even know how many songs, but the learning never stopped. Like how many songs do we know now?
We learned that first year over 100 songs. That's really? For sure.
That's good.
And now we know like 400 songs.
At least. Easily.
Yes.
And you know which ones work at right time.
Yeah. Yes.
And the other blessing I think about that is in having to learn all those covers, you know what makes the song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we can put that into our song.
Into your song. You learn to be better songwriters.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. At first I thought, I don't want to play covers.
Oh,
I don't want to learn covers. Yeah. And, but there's a reason why.
Yeah. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And you know, I'll tell you, I was a young disc jockey and one of the ways I supplemented my income was through DJing. Mm-hmm. And I did weddings and parties, mostly weddings. And I did them. I was in Cleveland, the Cleveland area, and we did shows from Buffalo, New York to Detroit. And what I found through programming, there's about 300-400 songs that mm-hmm. work. And you know instantly when they're not working. Mm-hmm. People leave the dance floor, right?
Yep. Yeah,
there you go. So I'd have one, and see, I'm playing records. I'm that old, yeah. And so in today it's all computer. Oh, yeah. But I'd bring in a crate full of, just one crate full of records, and people go, is that all the music you got? And I go, yeah. Oh, well, so-and-so's got like a big box, like get thousands of them. Oh. I go, yeah, that's fine. That's what he does. And then wow. at the end of the night, they're going, oh my God, you played everything.
Yeah.
I didn't play everything. I just knew which ones were.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you probably get that same feeling mm-hmm. when you're playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every crowd is different. Like whether it's like a young crowd, you know what songs to do then. If it's like an older crowd, you know what songs to do then.
Yes. Yes. You're right. You feel them out. Yeah. You play what's in the room.
Yes.
Now you're also playing at Cat 10 a lot. And folks, if you don't know, in Nashville, Cat 10 is the biggest place right now. It's Luke Combs, mm-hmm. And it's owned by the same people that own the Ryman.
Yep.
Ryman Hospitality. It used to be the Wild Horse Saloon, mm-hmm. which they had their own TV show and everything. And Cat 10 is absolutely amazing. So you guys are playing there now?
Yes.
Yes. We started playing there.
Tell me about that
there.
Experience.
This year, it was kind of like the same situation as the old Red thing. Mm-hmm. So we got the email address from one of our friends who works as a sound tech at Category 10. He said, email the heck out of her. So we did. We bugged her. I mean, we sent her a whole bunch of different worded emails because we're like, yeah. What works? Yeah. There's so many different ways to go about emailing a booker. Like, do you brag about yourself?
Yeah.
Do you say, hey, I'll come here all the time and I know what the crowd wants to hear. What do you know? So we tried a whole bunch of different avenues to go. And finally she responded.
Yay.
And we play there pretty regularly.
Do you? How right? Yes. Once a week or so?
Oh, yes. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, once or
about,
twice a week.
About 5 or 6 gigs there a month.
Wow. So. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you can make a living doing that.
Yeah.
Except you got to pay for parking.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Do they work that out for you too?
Thankfully, most of the venues downtown do help us out. It's not, we don't get free parking, but we get a big discount, which is
that's good.
Very helpful.
It can parking downtown, folks. It's expensive. Ooh, that's why a lot of folks will take Uber in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is getting expensive too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So, but that's cool. You love it, huh?
We do.
Enjoying it? Do you get a chance to throw in some of your originals every now and then?
We do. Yeah? It's so cool.
Even
because
when you talk in unison, like that's amazing. It was almost harmony. I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes the crowd will look us up on... Uh-huh. on a Spotify or mm-hmm. YouTube or even our websites and they'll be like, hey, we see that you have a song called Well Whiskey, can you play it? And we're like, yes, well, you don't have to ask us twice.
Don't threaten me with a good time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool that they do that. That's clever.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want to hear some more of your music.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you mind?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Kelly and Sarah is with us on the Songwriter Connection.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
And if you're listening on YouTube, and I know we're not a video podcast, but we're there. You can find us, a little slide there, but you know, you can listen. And I just hope you hit the like and the subscribe, because that does help us more than you ever know. And if you like listening to Spotify, everybody's got Spotify today pretty much, there is a Songwriter Connection, the songs playlist. So every Wednesday when we publish, every Wednesday, even when I'm on vacation last week, we published, I always take a couple of the songs that you've heard on the podcast and add them, you know, into the playlist. So check that out too, if you will. Kelly and Sarah are with us. You know, one of the things I really respect and admire, the fact that you get out there in front of the crowds, and you can play not only covers but throw yours in and work the crowd, because there's an art to that.
There
really is. You have to learn how to entertain, and that's one of the things. If you're playing in Nashville, you will learn how to be. If you're playing up and down Broadway, you'll learn how to entertain people, don't you?
Yes, it's you can't just be a good singer; you have to be a good entertainer for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what does that entail?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So, I will say, going to college, even though we were music majors, I don't think we really got taught too much about how to entertain. We were told how to stand in a choir or how to stand on stage for a recital. We weren't taught like how to involve the crowd. Mm-hmm. So I will say, like, that was something that we were kind of
scared.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know how to do this. So one of our friends who we met at the church that we first started going to when we moved here, he was in music as well, and he was performing, and he said, hey, I have this book that's live music, like it tells you how to perform and how to put your show together, and it had all this awesome advice, and we read the entire thing. Wow. And literally I took 12 pages of notes.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
And we were at level zero on how to perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how to interact with the audience.
Yeah.
So now is it natural?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got to do is act like you're hanging out with your friends, because that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I played last night at the Stillery. And this is just a real quick example. Maybe you've got one too. You know, on the front, there's a big, it's almost an outdoor venue because it's on the top floor and it's open air, right? But there's a cover. But anyway, they have this big pit, like the people can sit in, a couch pit, like, and it's right in the front of the stage. So these ladies, they all step and they're having a good time. So next time I say, where are you from? Are you visiting Nashville? We're from Boston. Oh, I love Boston and this Boston and that. And then in the very next song, I threw Boston into the song. Yeah. And they went nuts.
They love that.
Yes. Little things like that, right?
Yes, exactly. And people love to be asked questions. They love it when you ask, what are you guys celebrating? Where are you guys from? Yeah. And just little things like that. And they feel like you care, because we do.
You do.
That's why we're on stage for them.
Everybody's celebrating something, right?
Yeah. So I will say, one of the things that I learned in the book was there's sections of the stage that you can look at and use to push the audience. And I didn't even realize that pushing the audience was a thing.
Explain that a little bit.
Of course, the center of the stage is where all the focus is. Like, that's the most important part. So use it as the most important part in your songs or in the performance. And then on the right side of the stage,
do you share the center?
Oh, yes. Both together. Of course we do. Okay. All right. And we use it and we get involved with each other. And then sometimes we'll go to the right side of the stage to draw the people's attention to, oh, what are they doing over there? You know? But then when we're with our other musicians, if there's a guitar solo coming up, we make sure that we like either surround the guitar player, like we back them up to make sure they are in the middle of us. Even if we are on the right side of the stage, they're in the middle of both of us. So the audience can see, oh, something is going on right there. And that person, and it's not us who are getting the attention. It's the guitar player who has a solo.
You give the spotlight.
Yes. Cool. Share it. And when you have someone else who has the spotlight, let them have it.
Let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love this. This is great. I love it. I'd love to hear another song.
Absolutely.
Right. The story behind it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so, switching guitar.
I know. I can play a little bit. It's not going to be as good as Kelly, but it'll be.
Oh,
do you want to use that
Cindy
one?
Alter pick. Man, right
this,
there.
There's also this pineapple one.
Give me the pineapple.
That's the Allie Colleen pick right
nice.
There.
Nice. So this song is our latest release. It came out in August this year. Mm-hmm. So this is our story song. As 20, how old are we? 27 year olds. Yes. Mm. We haven't experienced as much life as maybe our grandparents have. Mm-hmm. And I said, let's write a song about our grandparents' life. So that way we can let their story live on, even though our grandparents aren't here anymore. So this song is called Three Sheets to the Wind, and it's about my grandmother, Maxine Campbell's life as a child.
Yeah.
And with her relationship with her father. So here it goes.
Mama was young, got caught up in the smile of a hard-working boy from the hills. Daddy tried his best for a little while, he'd pull the plow to pay the bills. Mama never saw the money he made, he was hooked on a liquid weakness. Now I haven't heard from Daddy for days, I keep writing but I'll never read this. Dear Daddy, why aren't you home anymore? I can't keep wishing you'd knock on the door. Come back inside, leave the drink behind, and tell me you love me again. I've seen you care when your mind was clear and not three sheets to the wind. I tried forgetting the night he came stumbling in, started yelling and shooting off fire. He put holes in the walls and marked my skin the night the devil drove drunk desire. Dear Daddy, why aren't you home anymore? I can't keep wishing you'd knock on the door. Tell me you love me again. I see you care when your mind was clear and not three sheets to the wind. I know what he still choose. It's not me, it's a bottle of booze. How could it be so good? He can leave me bruised. Oh, dear Daddy, why aren't you home? Wishing you'd just knock on the door. Come back inside, leave the drink behind. Tell me you love me again. See you care when your mind was clear and not three sheets to the wind. Ooh. It's got a heavy message to it, for
it really
sure.
Does. Great follow-up to Well Whiskey.
I know.
Oh, boy.
We know that many people can relate to that. We, for one, cannot, because we were blessed with very great, loving parents. But like we said, our grandmother was not as fortunate. And I know that there's many people out there who can really relate to this song, and they need that song to maybe feel seen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stories that she shared with you.
Yeah, it was actually, you know what, this is one of those stories that my mom heard from her, and my mom shared it with us.
Okay.
So it's like, it kind of starts on, hey, this is where the fact that you are twins comes from, because it was my grandmother's father who was a twin, and all of his siblings were not single births. So his mom had three sets of triplets.
Wow.
And two sets of twins.
Oh my, can you imagine?
I don't know. Like a crazy, crazy fact.
Wow.
But he was raised in like the Appalachian Mountains, and there, I guess there was a lot of turmoil that they had to deal with back in that time. So his twin sister had like fallen down a well and died, which is crazy. I think, she like, was it a suicide?
I think it might have been. Yeah.
So it's just like, he's got that.
He's got some mental
trauma. And so he, of course, became an alcoholic and treated his family awful and was like shooting guns in the house. Oh. And eventually his wife, who was my grandmother's mother, said, I can't do this anymore. We're leaving. And they left and went to live with her parents. And then, of course, he got mad and came like treading over there all drunk and everything and wanted to fight and did not win, obviously. He got kicked out of town. And was
all the farmers chased him out of town.
Yes, asked never to come back. Banished. But still, yes, he was.
Yeah. Wow.
And of course, like, I'm thinking, like, how would that feel to me? Like, this is her father. This is someone who read her books at night and was like, her dad, even though he had an awful side to him when he was drinking. So that's kind of where the story came from. And I just put it in a song and I was like, how would I feel if I was her?
Beautiful song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really something. Yeah. You know, when you hear the title, Three Sheets to the Wind, I didn't expect that melody in that story, which is really cool. I like to be surprised.
Yes.
And yeah. I think like, that's element, that twist. That
The twist.
Yes,
twists are all about that. Best songs.
Isn't that something else? So what was it like growing up, Kelly and Sarah?
Well, I loved our life coming up. We lived on a small farm. We grew up with gardens. We grew up with fruit trees, cows, chickens, geese. Sometimes llamas, turkeys, all kinds of animals.
Did you have other siblings?
We have two older siblings. They are much, much older than us. They're 20 years older than us.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So we didn't really get to grow up with them, but we're still pretty close to them. Like, we go on vacations with our sister and her family. So,
oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. It was just, wonderful. Most of the time, it was just me and Kelly doing our thing together. Yeah.
Were they musical too? Were the family musical?
No, they are not
musical.
So when
did you guys pick it up? Tell me how it got started for you.
Well, my mom, she always loves to sing. She never did it as like a passion because it wasn't that strong enough for her, but she always sang. We would listen to the radio and we would drive around. We'd be singing along. We loved it. And my mom always loved music. My dad has always loved music. My dad plays music in his garage and it's always playing somewhere. and so we've just been overly learned, I guess. What's the
we've
word?
We've been soaked in
yes,
music.
Yes, we've been soaked in music.
Learned through osmosis.
Yes.
And our town is very, very music driven as well. Like, it has a very huge music program for a small town anyway. Mm-hmm. And we love seeing, it's called show choir.
Yeah.
So there's singing and dancing, and that's one reason why we wanted to play at Category 10 so bad, because there's dancing there. But
yeah.
But we love watching the show. We love hearing the harmonies, and you know, Sarah and I, we love harmonies. So.
Did you sing in church?
We did.
Like a lot of country artists, we did start in church as children in the children's choir.
Yeah.
And then we started singing in the praise band, and obviously loved that so much. But then it was like school. We were involved with the choirs, so.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Always something music.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. Look at you now. How about another one? I want to hear something that's new that you're getting out there. You talked a little bit about one.
Yeah. Cowboy on the Run.
Cowboy on the Run. Oh, tell me about that song.
I'm super excited about it.
I don't know
why
a cowboy would want to run away from you two. Can't imagine.
Yeah, so Cowboy on the Run, you mentioned NSAI a little earlier.
Nashville Songwriters Association International.
That's right.
If you're not familiar and you want to be a songwriter, I highly recommend that organization. And when you come to Nashville, visit their offices.
Yeah.
For sure. Talk to them.
You learn a lot.
You really do. And that building there on Roy Cuff Boulevard, right off Music Row, it's in Music Row, heart of Music Row. And that used to be Harold Shedd's studio where they produced all the Alabama records.
Really?
And, and I believe the song Achy Breaky Heart was produced there in that building.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I sent Cowboy on the Run to NSAI to have them like check it out. Give me tips. Give me feedback.
That's one of the cool things about NSAI and being a member there is you can send your song to the pros and they can tell you what
works. They'll rip it apart.
Yes, they will.
But they'll make it better.
Push you.
Yeah,
so I sent in Cowboy on the Run and it actually became it was on the list of ones to watch.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? I had no idea that was going to happen.
That's an honor. That's quite an honor.
So excited that I'm like, I have to record it. So we recorded it and it's going to be our next original release sometime next year.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's about manipulation. And in this, I guess I won't tell you too much. I kind of want to just.
That's the story.
Maybe I'll explain it later after the song.
Maybe. If we're in the mood, right?
Yeah.
I saw the warnings like a red sky in the morning. You thought maybe you could play me. I could read every lie you gave me. Boy, manipulation ain't your skill set. But it's mine. I got you wrapped around my finger like a windmill spinning in a cyclone. Thought you'd pull me in and break me like every other girl you had before. I beat you at your game. Got you wanting me. Turn the tables to right where I wanna be. Then I'm gone like a cowboy on the run. Yeah, it's easy for me to be charming. Before you knew it, it was too late. I let you chase me with your sweet talking self. I got your last, so I'm taking you down. Oh, I roped her right under my thumb. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't run. I got you wrapped around my finger like a windmill spinning in a cyclone. Thought you'd pull me in and break me like every other girl you had before. I beat you at your game. Got you wanting me. Turn the tables to right where I wanna be. Then I'm gone like a cowboy on the run. You're caught in the trap you set for me. Got you on me. Turn the tables, I'm right where I wanna be. I'm gone. I'm a cowboy on the run. Ooh.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Cowboy on the run.
Yeah.
Tell us the story behind the song.
So, yeah.
It's all about that, you know.
About manipulation, where you think, when you get in a relationship with somebody, sometimes they are a very big manipulator. And
so, everyone wants to know. Based on a true story?
That's a good question. A lot of my songs are driven by true things that have happened, but none of them are actually based on a full on true story. I don't, when something bad happens to me, I don't want to give them the, satisfaction of getting a whole song written about them. So
yeah, like Taylor would, right?
Yeah. So things are kind of brought more exaggerative when I write songs and all that. So, I mean, I take experiences from different things and kind of mold it into a
song.
That's
what you should do.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
So,
I mean, seriously.
Long story short, no, but yeah.
No, but kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
I get asked a lot of times, too. They'll say, was that about a particular girl? It's like a amalgamation of a lot of different girls.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's never just one person.
It's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So
that song is going to be coming out next year.
Yep.
So everyone got to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Kelly Sarah Music, so you know exactly when that song's coming
out. And you also have a webpage?
We sure do. KellySarahMusic.com.
Mm-hmm. Some videos out there too.
What'd you say?
Videos out there as well?
Yeah, we do. We have one music video that we went out to a barn in Tennessee and we took our leaf blower because we had a huge budget of $0.
I know what you're talking about.
And we did a music video to our song Midwestern Tornado. So that right now is the only music video that we have out there. We're hoping to get more in the works.
Saving up for a bigger budget.
Yeah, maybe $1 next time.
I was hoping you guys could leave us with that song.
Okay. Absolutely.
As your last one tonight. Would it be okay?
Absolutely.
Yep. That'd be awesome.
I'm trying to pick a different pick every time.
Different pick every time.
Funny.
They're just so much pretty.
A little bowl of pics that I've collected over the years.
I love it.
They're just super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, this song, along with all the songs we've done today, is actually on our CD that is available on our website.
Good.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's called the Well Whiskey Album. But
yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is Midwestern Tornado. Got its name because we are originally from the Midwest.
Sweet.
So now wherever we go, we can take the Midwest with us.
Yes.
And so this is one of those breakup songs because we can all relate with a breakup. But I guess one reason why I wrote this song called Midwestern Tornado is because this was based on the breakup that I had in the Midwest before I moved here. So it was like my big old blow up.
Another one was based on a real true story.
Right. Yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Told me that it's over. All I heard was thunder, but I pretended I was fine. So yeah, I think you're right, but everything was crashing inside. Guess I didn't hear the siren every time he was lying. Now my head's spinning as I pour more gin in. This is killing me. He pulled me in a storm, all my tears pouring down, messing up my eyes, messing up my mind, cracking glass when another bottle hits the ground, breaking memories he left behind. Here comes the blow, I hit the floor, rip up this home, I feel like a Midwestern tornado. He is something hiding. Then the lightning hit when I found lipstick on his torn shirt that he ditched. He put me in a storm, all my tears falling down, messing up my eyes, messing up my mind, cracking glass when another bottle hits the ground, breaking memories he left behind. Here comes the blow, I hit the floor, rip up this hole.
Wonderful. What a great song. I want to thank you so much for taking time. I know you're very busy playing downtown and everything. For being on our show. Just coming and sharing your music means so much.
Thank you for having us. It's really been an honor being here.
We're going to follow you. And people follow them on your webpage. You'll show where you're playing. And if you're visiting Nashville, hey, stop in Old Red.
Yes.
Come see them.
Yeah. Is there a special night of the week that you play every week? Or do you ever really?
It's really random, which we kind of like that.
Change it up a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't get boring, does it?
Exactly.
I mean, pretty much every day of the week, except for one time a week. I don't know what day that usually is, but.
Oh, my. Well, all the best. I'm wishing you much, much success. It's deserved.
Thank you so much.
You've worked so hard, and your voices are just amazing the way they blend together. Kelly and Sarah, our guests on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Folks, thanks for joining us, and right on your ITE.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.